You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I would like to start off the show with a big thank you to Alt-Right Andy. For those of you who don't know, who listen on Radio Arian, Alt-Right Andy goes ahead and he posts not only our show, which of course would be a daily thing, Monday through Friday, he posts all the shows from Radio Arian, he posts shows from around the alt-right and the white nationalist community, both in Europe and in the United States, and he has absolutely been one of the most dedicated comrades one could imagine, because the amount of time that takes to upload all the shows, to make sure that everything sounds great, and to be able to do this every single day to ensure that thousands and thousands of subscribers have access to listen to this. Some of you are going to be listening to this later today, which will be your current time. Time is, you know, human construct, I suppose. Right. are going to be listening to this on the YouTube channel that Alt-Right Andy has set up, and he continues to post all this content. He is a generous comrade. He puts in an insane amount of effort. So I just wanted to, go ahead and say thank you for all that you do, and thank you for all the support. And yeah, exactly.
Thanks so much, Andy.
And, thank you. And joining me today in the studio/laundry room is Miles Blythe. Miles, head of human resources for the Traditionalist Worker Party. Miles, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, it's fantastic to be back with you guys again. I've kind of been out of the loop for about a month with school things, and so the stress was building up, but coming back down to Paoli and the little...
to the normal world.
Yeah, the normal world. Yeah, it all sheds off, and I'm 100% fantastic just overnight, you know, feeling good.
Well, and that's just the importance of having comrades around and having community, you know. Just today, very lucky thing, we're doing our show. Like, my wife made a big pot of soup, and we're here doing the show, and we've got a lot of different activities to do this weekend for the party, going ahead and getting some mailings out to our members, and doing new member packets, and going out and doing some activism, meeting with some new members. It really is an exciting thing, and to be able to get that break from campus. Now, campus, you had an experience you told me about last night. Go ahead and tell me what happened in one of your classes.
Yeah, sure. Oh, my God. So, I'm in this race and ethnicity class. It's for a humanities credit, you know, of course. And there's no homework in it. There are no tests or quizzes. It really is just like a diversity training course before, like, you go into a job or whatever, you know, like you need to be sensitive of this and that, you know, and the other. And
do you hate yourself enough yet, white man?
I'm getting there. Oh, I already hated myself, but for other reasons. but the one yesterday we were talking about border crossing this time, We watched this documentary, and they were talking about these certain groups, and it's all Native Americans and white people, you know, and they leave like bottles of water hidden along the border for people to.
It's like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, it's an Easter egg, right? And no, the Easter egg hunt is when he was talking about finding the bodies. Near the end of the documentary, there's this conservative senator from God knows where, somewhere in that neck of the woods, who's like, "Oh, I'm not afraid of a future where people want to come to America. I'm afraid of a future where people feel unwelcome coming to America." And they had the whole song and dance. And at the end of the documentary, this girl in my class, Mexican girl, sitting there with her Starbucks, she unsolicited raises her hand, and the teacher calls her, and she's like, "I just wanted to say that my parents are in this country illegally, and they are not criminals."
No, they are.
No, by definition of what you just said, I'm a record scratch. Let's rewind that real quick.
But my parents are here
They have not committed a crime, even though they are illegal, and they immigrated to America, which would make them illegal immigrants, right, I think.
It's like you get the green arrow, the green text arrows, no, illegally, illegal. But it's just that you feel that bold to say that, you know what I mean? There are people coming here, you know, illegally from Europe getting deported and things like that, but, you know, these Mexicans... we'll sit there and brazenly announce to the world, hey, I'm here illegally, you know, to a room full of strangers who don't know you and probably don't like you. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it shows how bold they are and how cucked they think they are.
Right.
That the idea that, like, we won't do anything. So, for the record, you can call ICE. To all of our listeners, if you ever have an experience like that, never forget, you can call ICE and report these people. And remember, Facebook, you know, especially if you're a college student, because this is a thing happening around the country. Go ahead.
Class rosters.
Yeah, get your class roster. Look up the name. And then if you can find them on Facebook with their selfies on where they're from. Go ahead and find that town. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and then Google that last name. See if you can find property owned or businesses or things like that. By the parents, you know, see if you can link things together with pictures and things like that. Find out who the illegal immigrant is and call ICE.
Some Sherlock Holmes and Sherlock Holmes.
Holmes. Sherlock essay, you know. But no, they gotta go, people, and let's remember we
take the coats.
They don't deserve to be warm. Get them out of here. Well, I mean, this is being said as you've got the feel the wall button you got on Inauguration Day.
On video show.
Yeah. But, I mean, seriously, like, if you hear that there are illegal immigrants and you've got a, like, no, don't just call them, like, random Mexicans. Because remember, we only have so much budget. There's only so much time. But if you've got a reasonable, you know, suspicion, some facts to know that these are indeed illegal immigrants, then call ICE. Get them out of here. do your part to make America great again and get these people out of my country. But they're not criminals. They're not criminals. No.
No.
Let the immigration court decide that, I guess.
We're not going to have arguments with these people.
No, we're not. Well, I mean, and that kind of goes into another thing, Miles, is with having arguments that these people are so bold. And they've created this reality that isn't in touch with ours. Objective facts, they've broken the law.
Right.
The punishment, it's a misdemeanor. You are to be sent to jail and then deported, or we can just outright deport you. That's what the law is. If you don't like the law, then change immigration law. Like, you can pass different laws. The thing about Donald Trump is the things that he's proposing are actually just fulfilling laws that are already on the books. America actually has pretty good immigration laws. Yeah. Not as good as I'd want, but pretty good. And all we have to do is enforce them, and these people go home. But they live in a reality where the law doesn't apply to them.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't work, like, if you're speeding, like, officer...
It's illegal, but I'm not a criminal.
Yeah, I'm not a criminal. I know I was going 30 miles over in a school zone, but I am not a criminal.
Right.
It's just a different reality that they inhabit. I don't know where this reality is. It's cross-dimensional, but it's not the one that I live in.
Right.
Because the law is supposed to equally apply... to everyone. And the other thing you're mentioning off the air, talking about the idea of constitutional rights.
Right.
How do these people think constitutional rights apply to them when they're not citizens?
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point of the Constitution is to apply to citizens of the country. And then to be like, oh yeah, I want to live here and I want to enjoy all of your rights, but I don't want to pay taxes, you know, and I don't want to actually contribute.
Follow the immigration laws become a citizen.
Right. No, forget that. you're not hearing me, I say.
Someone got to pay for me and my hombres, and it ain't going to be me.
State's problem now.
Well, you know, the government of Mexico is all, like, butthurt that, you know, if we do these mass deportations, they could just end up, because we're just going to drop them off over the border.
Right.
They're going over, ain't no problem anymore.
Right.
Because Mexico, for decades, has allowed a policy of people from throughout Latin America to come through Mexico.
Right.
And then to come to the United States. So, like, it was a rule, they're not going to arrest you as long as you're coming through the United States. I don't see how us just being like, nah. Right. You can't do that anymore. They're going back and they're your problem now. I don't know how they can throw a hissy fit. And you know, the thing is, and I know the Trump administration isn't going to be as hard as I want. And you know, I've got friends who are Mexican nationalists, including a great number of Mexican national socialists. I don't actually have a beef with the Mexican people. I've got a beef with their government because their government is so corrupt, is so crony. They've destroyed the economy with free trade agreements, selling their nation out to globalism. And then they've aided and abetted millions of people from not even from Mexico right. to come into our country. And then they use it as a stopgap, you know, as this the steam release valve to take the people in their communities, like they destroy their lives to benefit the globalists. Right. And they go, you could go to America. And they say, hey, don't forget to send your remittances back. We're talking about tens of billions of dollars of remittances a year that the Mexican government supports Mexicans coming over to America to take American jobs and drive down wages. But then they're not taking care of their own people in Mexico. Right. So they rely on the illegal and legal immigrants in America to subsidize their existence. Like, in what sane world did we put up with this for more than 5 seconds?
Right. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I don't know what's happening.
Well, hopefully a lot's going to change.
Oh, yeah. It is.
But, you know.
It's unsustainable.
Well, it is unsustainable. This entire system is falling apart. And, you know, the Mexican government wants to whine and complain. We don't need them. Like, right. you know, I was watching these videos, like, Occupy Democrats and everything, which that's my rage fuel.
Yeah.
You know, doing videos of, like, the economy will collapse without illegal immigrants mm-hmm. because, like, 70% of farm workers in America are illegal immigrants. Well, it's because you pay them $5 an hour.
Right.
Like, it's because you make them violate all the labor laws that literally hundreds of people died for, like, in union strikes and stuff like that. For the 8-hour workday, for overtime, right. for, you know, the ability to organize. And you don't want to, I mean, I don't even understand how low the minimum wage is. The fact that you're not willing to pay $7.25 an hour, and right. you're like, nah, I want to pay $5. Like, first of all, screw you.
But I'm
you.
A humanitarian.
Yeah. We're giving these people jobs. Right, right. I know we put 13 of them in a single room with one bed, right. like, that's filled with rats, but we're humanitarians.
We transport them over here in the trunk of a car, of a clown car.
But no, we're really the ones fighting for human rights.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's what you're about, my man, sure.
But these, I mean, these farms and stuff like that, that, you know, would the price of lettuce go up if we didn't have illegal immigrants? Yes. We also wouldn't be paying billions of dollars a year, and not just, like, programs for the immigrants. If you look at schools, the fact that in so many school districts, especially in the Southwest, we've now had to institute in hiring entirely new sets of teachers. There are basically two schools in one now that teach in Spanish or teach in other languages, these ESOL programs. I mean, when you think about the actual cost to the American taxpayer, to Tom, Dick, and Harry, yeah, your lettuce might be a little bit cheaper, but how much of your tax dollars to the tune of billions of dollars, and again with the remittances, they're sending billions of dollars a year out of the American economy to subsidize a third world narco hellhole. Like, I'm sorry you might pay a little bit more for your lettuce, but when you go to Taco Bell, if your taco goes from being $1.19 to $1.25, I think that's a cost we could deal with if that meant our tax dollars weren't going to fund tens of millions of people that shouldn't be here in the first place.
You think maybe?
Just a little bit. I mean, that seems like some basic economics right there.
Right, right.
You know, we literally spend, I mean, even states like Montana. Montana has less than 1 million people, which I think is like a neighborhood in New York City. You know, like they live in like Mega City 1, right, you know, from right. Judge Dredd. But you look at a state like Montana, they even spend millions of dollars a year in a state with almost no Mexicans on these people. And then, of course, the ones who are criminals, you know, when they rape somebody or run somebody down in a car or something, of course, without a driver's license
right,
or insurance. You know, I mean, just think about that. If an illegal immigrant hits you, he ain't going to have car insurance.
Right.
So, you know, when you're paying your monthly monthly money to your insurance company, part of that goes to fund unlicensed drivers because
right.
someone's got to pay for your smashed up car and your smashed up body. And when Jose, you know, smashes into you and then flees the scene, he doesn't have insurance. So your insurance payments every single month, part of your money is going to subsidize illegal immigrants because they don't have insurance. Every part of the economy is set up in a way with taxes and with other things, just like insurance is actually set up to steal from you mm-hmm. and then give to these people who aren't supposed to be here in the first place.
Exactly.
Like, it actually, like, would it hurt the economy? Oh, we lose so much farm. No. if you could pay actual wages, because they don't even go, like, there's chicken plants around here and throughout the South, where they hire a whole host of illegal immigrants. I mean, how hard would it be to pay, like, an actual wage to hire real workers? Because they don't even go out of their way to try and hire American workers. And this goes, like, Disney got in a huge amount of trouble and controversy because they were firing, like, the white or black. You know, illegal immigration, you know, hurts the black community as well, especially in trades, because the black community used to have a huge amount of skills when it came to construction and things like that, and they've been pushed out by Mexicans.
Right.
So when you talk about this, like, as a white nationalist, I, of course, care about it for my people, but just American citizens of every color are actually hurt by illegal immigration, that if we could get rid of these people and the corporations would be forced to pay living wages and hire American workers, well, that gives workers a say again. That that gives us the ability to organize. But, you know, it goes into this bizarro reality, and I want to talk about the bizarre reality from colleges. So on campuses, now this is a story from the Washington Examiner that it says that universities, of course, are supposed to be the cradles of free speech, where ideologies and ideas clash. But at hundreds of campuses across the country, administrators encourage students to report one another or their professors for speech protected by the First Amendment or even mere political disagreements. The so-called bias response teams reviewing these often anonymous reports typically include police officers, student conduct administrators, and public relations staff who scrutinize the speech of activists and academics. This is Orwellian. There's over 230 such reporting systems that have been found by the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, also known as FIRE. They're a pretty solid free speech group. But we're talking about hundreds of campuses have created it that what is 100% legal to say.
Right.
100% legal. They will investigate you and try and get, like, threaten you for speaking.
Right.
Like, this is, they live in a separate reality than what the law is.
Exactly. They're trying to rewrite what is reality. The party decides reality. It's horrific. It really is.
Well, the party will decide what's
reality. It will.
Right. Our party.
Our party. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's bad when they do it. But we've always been at war with these nations.
Yeah. Yeah, that really is the funny thing. I do love it. And whenever there's a movement feud, and as soon as people are cool, no, we've always been cool.
Right, right. I was already speaking in duck speak here a second ago when I was complaining about that.
But, I mean, what's the environment like, you know, with your campus life?
Yeah.
Because I know there was a freak out. It was funny because I think it was American Vanguard did put up posters at several campuses here in Indiana. And, of course, we're on very good terms with those guys. Good friends of ours are going to be joining us in Pikeville.
Oh, good. I'm excited to meet them.
Oh, it's going to be great. But, you know, it was funny that usually it's TWP and TYN that, usually we're the ones trolling the left. So it was great to see, like, just other organic trolling going on. But, they called out the cops. Like, what was that like?
And the FBI.
Yeah, what was that like on campus? The fact that, like, posters.
Right.
Posters. And they weren't threats.
Right.
They were just like, we have a right to exist.
Right.
That merits a call to the FBI. Right. Like, what is the campus culture life in your experience just with these people and their fake reality?
Right. Well, I remember in my one of my environmental classes, the professor, she was like, yeah, I just wanted to say it's a big, like, lecture hall thing, like a bunch of, like, computer stations and stuff. And she's like, I just wanted to say that this does not represent us, and whoever did this, we've contacted the FBI, and this sort of thing won't be tolerated. It reminded me of that the Jesse Slaughter videos on YouTube where the angry dad with the mustache is, you done goofed, I called the cyber police. and the thing is, relatively normal people just kind of had, like, this dead look on their face. Like, it really just kind of goes over their head. I would say there's a very small percentage of actual social justice warriors, and everyone else is just apathetic and lets them stomp and scream and do their thing.
Because they got stuff to do.
Yeah, right, exactly. The average person has a life. You know what I mean? This is not a concern to them, whether somebody got upset, somebody wants to put up this pamphlet or that pamphlet. It's all the same to them, you know? So most people were just kind of like, you know, whatever. But every here and there, you get a professor who has to go up on a soapbox and give a little song and dance. So you get.
Well, they've got a posture.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They've got a signal proper.
Right, right. They got to stack that paper. They got to make sure that, like, everybody knows I'm towing the party line. I'm cool with the administration, you know.
It's like the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
You know, like, no one really, you know, in the Soviet Union, no one really believed in communism, I think, except for that small radical fringe of the Jewish Bolsheviks that, of course, took over, you know, Russia. But, you know, you think about it, you know, you read stories. I've talked to people that lived in the Soviet Union that you had to be like, oh, yes, the triumph of Marxism and the proletariat revolution as you're standing in a bread line.
Right.
Like, no, this is the great worker struggle is hereby on the march, and you have to say it to make sure that everybody hears you saying
right.
it, because you wouldn't want to be, you know, grumble and say, man, I've been here for 6 hours for a piece of bread. Can I go home?
Yeah.
I don't have shoes. Like, this is lame. Like, no, they'll drag you off to a camp, and the equivalent here is they'll call the bias response team to go and investigate you, you know, and how many people, you know, where's the line? You know, I've seen some of the frat houses in Bloomington that have Trump flags out the window and stuff like that, which is good to see. As much of a criticism as I have of what the frat boy culture has turned into, you know, being able to see at least some sort of implicit stand of like white identity is cool. But where's the line? If you're, you know, having the bias response team, and the FBI called on you, which must be the most bizarre call to the FBI of, like, someone put up a poster. Did it have a threat?
Yeah, didn't the FBI say, the FBI responded to what they were saying. It was like, no, this isn't illegal.
Yeah.
Man. Like
they put up a legal poster on the posting board.
Right. That's what it's there for.
You are allowed to disagree.
Right. Is there a complaint in here somewhere? Like you know.
Did I misread this?
Right, yeah. What do you want?
Well, you know, it's a good thing to be able to see that was the response, and hopefully things under Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions III.
I do declare
that hopefully our you know the federal law enforcement will just start to act a little more sane, God willing. You know, in times like this where your feelings, it's not a crime, but you know, on the flip side, like with the illegal immigrant you were talking about, feelings don't make a crime. They both make crimes and don't make crimes,
right?
Because if it would hurt your feelings to have your mom deported for breaking the law, well, that's not a crime then. But if your feelings are hurt by white people saying we have a right to exist,
right,
then that's a crime.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the law says. That's a crime. That's
oh hell no.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing with all this. You know, the dialectical discussions and stuff that we have. So Dan Schneider from who works for the American Conservative Union, they're putting on CPAC, which I'm not at CPAC this year because I literally had so many other things to do, like, I don't know, polish my boots or really anything, you know, because I
water my cat.
Yeah, exactly. Like really anything. I mean, conservatives are the absolute worst. But you know, we did go in 2013 and Scott Terry did defend the institution of chattel slavery.
God bless that man. I love that guy. Scott, if you're listening, shout out.
that was my favorite CPAC ever. But he came up and gave this big speech, this Dan Schneider character.
Dan Schneider, is that the pervert from Nickelodeon who put all the subtle foot imagery in that? I've heard that name before, but maybe... I'm sure I'm thinking the wrong one. I'm sure it's a common name in those circles.
Well, I mean, if you're on the enemy's side, it all kind of blends together, right? The masses of the East Asian forces and the 2 minutes of hate. You
exactly,
know?
Like, right.
All their faces blend together.
Enemy's an enemy, dude.
and then at the end, our Goldstein is just like George Soros.
You're right, exactly.
You know, he turns into a bleeding goat, and then we
always throw something at the screen.
Yeah. That's how we
wake up. That's how we start days at the compound.
Well, I mean, we were making jokes about, you know, with Man in the High Castle. I think I might have mentioned in the show, but how, you know, everything's just so normal in Man in the High Castle, and everything's great. All the communities are white and safe and just good stuff. And, you know, you wake up and you see your neighbor, and, you know, hey, Harry, sing Heil. That's that and the 2 minutes of hate. That's what we do here.
We have fun here.
We do. But he was denouncing the alt-right as left-wing fascists. Now, I'm a little confused as this entire mindset where... So he defines right and left as individual liberty and my freedoms versus, like, the state having a say in things.
Right.
Now, the problem with that is, if you evaluate, so where did the term left and right come from? Well, of course, comes from France. You know, after the French Revolution, you had the monarchists and the clerical elements.
Authoritarians.
Yeah, on the right.
Right.
And the left was all about liberty, egalitarianism, and freedom. So if you really look throughout history, like, understand what the term right-wing means, it means you're an authoritarian.
Exactly.
Like, that's what it means. Right. Like, if you're on the left and you believe in the individual and more rights and all things like that, that means you're not thinking in terms of God, in terms of your family, in terms of your nation. You are part of the left.
Son, you fell off the train.
That's so true. You know, and it really is this idea of these true conservatives.
Right.
And they're battling back. They're having to admit that they're fighting against the alt-right.
Right.
And these sorts of things like that.
Well,
and they're losing.
Right. Well, how do you build an ideology, something someone truly believes in, on fiscal responsibility and a strong national defense? And that's the entirety of your ideology. And then the other two people you're up against are people like us, identitarians, or the left, who at least believes in something more than, you know, vague talking points that nobody can define. You know what I mean? It's that saying about how the heretic is always worse than the infidel. You know,
it's true.
The conservative is
worse than the left.
Exactly.
Truly worse than the left, because these people, they're the first ones to posture. There's no difference than your left-wing professor going to make sure they have the points with all the political commissars and the bias response teams, to these conservatives getting up that these people are fascists. Like, the term fascist doesn't mean anything anymore in American politics, because Donald Trump was called a fascist by, like, the Jeb Bushes and the left. And guess what? It didn't mean anything anymore. And the left has been calling the right fascist. The right's been calling left fascist. I mean, we are, but, like, we actually know what that word means.
Right.
Like, it's an all-encompassing revolutionary ideology for the, like, the state and the individual and the family. But these people, like, have crafted this false narrative. And again, the conservatives live in this fake reality that Ronald Reagan's going to come back and bring about a new age of, I mean, I don't know, restricting our gun rights, amnesty for illegal immigrants, and going ahead and, you know, cutting all of our government spending. So, you know, one of the reasons we have a big homeless problem in America is Reagan, in the name of fiscal responsibility, shut all the asylums.
Right.
So we didn't get rid of these people. We just put them on the streets.
Exactly.
We've got hundreds of thousands or possibly millions of people roaming the streets that deserve care, that have mental problems or have addictions or things like that, that should be taken care of and treated. But the name of fiscal responsibility was like, no, the street's a better place.
God shed his grace on me.
I mean, it really, like, the Republicans would be the first ones to support the purge.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because it's the only way to maintain their false system. It's like, all these poor people.
I don't like it. I'm not feeling it, to be honest.
We've got to remove, but we need millions more brown poor people.
Right. Can we do something about that?
Yeah, we need this cheap labor, but all these people that have been hurt by the system or need help,
right,
they need to go. Can we send them to Mexico?
Yeah, right.
Can we deport the poor white people to Mexico and get more brown people?
It's ridiculous. Right.
Well, they hate any semblance of a nation.
Right.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what America they believe in when the left has defeated them.
Right.
Nonstop for ever. Like, forever. Conservatism is always a failing ideology.
Right. Well, they're the ones always giving ground. You know, right now it's like the 20th round, and, like, their eyes are swollen shut, and they're sitting there going, you gotta cut me, Mick, I can't see nothing out there. And they just keep going in again and again for more willings, and it's almost sad. I almost feel sorry for them on a primal, you know, level, seeing these
guys. Come on, Rock.
Right, get up, Rock, you're a god, you're a god.
Freaking Apollo Creed, right, like, it's just pummeling them.
Boom, boom.
And then we're on the other side, you know, with the Russians. If he dies, he dies.
I must break you.
But these conservatives are the absolute worst, and they again have crafted this fake reality. I really truly believe that those of us who are nationalists are the only ones objectively looking at reality. Everyone else has their creed that, you know, it doesn't matter if the proletariat revolution didn't happen, even though Marx said it would. It has to happen because Marx said it.
Right.
It doesn't matter what facts are. And these conservatives say, you know, family values cross the Rio Grande regardless of what the facts are. And these people vote Democrat.
Right.
Like,
right.
It doesn't matter what the facts are because they believe it. It really has become a religion to them,
sure,
of worshiping their their fake ideologies. So, Miles, we're coming to the end of the show. Now, this is the last show of the week. So, let's go ahead and get a final thought as to what you want to send our listeners off with. Send them out on the high note.
Sure. Well, I would say don't be too worried about campus culture, honestly. Just from my own experience, the actual SJWs and the crazies, they're a vocal minority, but the average person, I'm not saying quite the average person is on our team, but these matters of left and right, and you're racist, or you're a fascist, or you're this, that, you're this phobic, that phobic, it goes totally over their head. They don't mind, and if once someone like Trump, you know, starts to normalize our way of thinking, the average person is probably much happier with that than someone with, you know, a weird bull ring through their nose and wanting to be called Zeezer, Zai.
Oh, you met your first check your pronouns person.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I went to a Temple of Thelema meeting just out of curiosity that I saw an ad for on Facebook, and I'd read a little bit of Crowley and I knew he was sort of right wing. And I thought, yeah, this is going to be cool to check out. And there was a guy with an asexual flag with a crossed out swastika, a very specific, a very niche form of SJW patch on his hat, and a little hammer and sickle patch as well. And he was there talking about, he was the first person I've ever met who said, I prefer to be called they, them, there. And I was like, is this real life? And just to add an aside real quick, I heard that Crowley, I don't think this is true at all, but he liked to claim that he's the one who gave Hitler the idea for the swastika, you know, and then this guy is coming to a Crowleyite meeting with his little communist patches and saying, I want to be called the, you know what I mean? It's bizarre. It's bizarro land. But the thing is, most people recognize it as bizarro land. You know?
Well, exactly. And remember, as our Greek comrades did when the left took over the campuses and threw a hissy fit, we can just roll tanks over them one day.
Right. So, you can always do that.
Yeah, on that note, Miles Blythe here with the Traditionalist Worker Party. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully you have a great weekend, and I'll be back on Monday. Have a great day, and hail victory.
Hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.